to Lebanon now, where the government has resigned following last week's disastrous explosion in Beirut. The death toll has risen to 220, with 110 people still missing, thousands injured, so many homes destroyed, and of course the port destroyed. There have been immense pressure, has been immense pressure on the government to stand down, with many Lebanese demanding a complete overhaul of the political system. Lebanon's Prime Minister Hassan Diab made the announcement overnight, New Zealand time. The BBC's Middle East correspondent Sebastian Usher is back with us. Sebastian, hello.
Hi, yes.
So that's a real development in the 24 hours since we spoke. Pressure had been mounting. Did you expect this might happen?
I did. I mean, to be absolutely brutal about it, I think for people in Lebanon and people who've been following Lebanon for a long time, it isn't that dramatic a development. I mean, so many governments have resigned in the past. I mean, this government essentially is in place because the previous government resigned when the protests, the mass protests against the whole system, as you just said, complete political overhaul, started back in October. Saad Hariri, who is a big name, obviously, from his father, Rafiq Hariri, and I think he's been prime minister two or three times, was the prime minister then. So that was a moment when that happened. This, I think, was inevitable. I wasn't expecting necessarily today, but once the resignations began to mount up during the day, it seemed pretty likely. Hassan Diab, the prime minister you've just mentioned, isn't a name to reckon with in Lebanon. He was brought in to be supposedly a technocrat who could try and steer Lebanon back onto the path of some kind of economic well-being. That it was supposed to be a technocratic government. It was supposed to essentially finally reach a deal with the IMF, $10 to $15 billion at the time that the IMF was going to give to try and help Lebanon get over the very worst immediate problems that it was facing economically. That didn't happen. Now, you could put that down to some extent to the government. You could put it down to all the different interests who didn't really let it happen. You could put it down to the fact that the central bank didn't want to go along with the conditions, so on and so forth. So, I mean, you can tell how significant it is to the Lebanese in that there hasn't really been any great celebration or any protests going out on the streets tonight to say, you know, we've accomplished this. I mean, one friend of mine, an analyst there and a reporter, basically in Arabic, said, I'm against the next government, which is a kind of vaguely nihilistic thing to say. But I mean, what he's saying is that, you know, the government, as long as it's formed in the same way as all these previous ones have been, it's just a manifestation of the system. It's not actually the problem.
What is the way? Let's talk about the country's political system and what happens now. Is it a different kind of election to come from what your country and ours goes through in a Westminster system? How will a next government be formed?
Well, there was, Hassan Diab, the Prime Minister, had said that he would call for new elections. That would be a major part of what he was, you know, going to suggest as a next step for Lebanon to take. He didn't get into that at all, to be honest, in his speech, and that seems to have faded a bit. So I think it may be a bit early to talk about elections. I mean, that's what will matter. I mean, if you know, when it comes to it, the way that the system works in Lebanon, it's a confessionalism system. So basically there are 18 different sects, religious sects. They also obviously have political manifestations too. And they all graded according to their numbers, though those numbers are way back, so they don't really necessarily marry up to how things are now. It's done through that. So the president is a Christian, the prime minister is a Sunni Muslim, the speaker of parliament is a Shia. Now, the speaker of parliament, Nabi Berri, who heads Amal, which is the other big Shia organization aside from Hezbollah, has been there for decade upon decade upon decade. Michel Aoun, I think we were talking about this yesterday, he was president back at the very end, the very last war within the Lebanese war. He then went into exile in France. He came back, did a kind of deal with Hezbollah, who then became the kingmakers, essentially put him in place. So the system isn't one that really is representative. I mean, it's always talked of as one of the democracies in the Middle East, but it's never really worked that way because essentially it works through local interests. So, you know, it's the kind of system where you need to know someone to get something. So that's you know, the political leaders, the MPs, traditionally have handed out favours, and that's how they have reached their position. And also it's done on a kind of system where often instead of the actual MP being voted in, it's done on a kind of shared system across the vote. So that has to change. I mean, basically, if Lebanon is to get anywhere, the electoral system has to change. It has to be able to represent the people who've been out on the streets, the civil society that's been building. In each election, since they've begun to really emerge properly in the last 10 years or so, since the Arab Spring, essentially, they haven't been able to get any representation really at all. That's what's needed for their voices, for them to coalesce into a proper political movement as well, which is going to be very difficult, and to have a system of an electoral reform system which will allow them to actually count. And then you might have a new generation. Then you might have new ways of looking at things. This is a long process. We're, you know, for the Lebanese, they haven't even really started this process yet.
So do citizens get to cast a vote? But is it a proportional representation
yes.
system where you can only cast a vote for a limited range of possibilities that have been pre-selected? I'm just a little confused as to what the citizen does to get this sharing.
Basically, I mean, everyone has a vote, but essentially, I mean, like anywhere, you vote in your own district, but those districts are essentially carved up different
right.
interests. So Hezbollah has traditionally controlled the south. It controls the southern suburbs of Beirut, the north. Tripoli is controlled in a particular way. Sidon, which is the city just below Beirut, is controlled by Hariri's people. Districts within Lebanon, within the capital, Beirut, are sort of divided up in the same way. So there's little room. There are one or two MPs who kind of emerge who have more independent voices, but the majority of them don't, because they are beholden to their political masters, essentially, who are the dynasties, who are the people who control the kind of sectarian interests, and the ones who pull the levers. So, you know, they have the money to hand out in the favours, and that's how it's worked. So people have always been very cynical about elections, never believed that they would actually achieve anything or get anywhere, although there is a certain pride amongst the Lebanese, at least do have a democracy. They look at a lot of the other countries in the Arab world where they didn't. What it did have was a very lively, relatively liberal and reasonably open kind of intellectual atmosphere, politically and otherwise. It was the place, Beirut, where all the people who'd been forced out of their own countries in the Arab world went, and they were able to speak far more freely. What a lot of people have been concerned about in the past 3 or 4 months and the way that the protests have been dealt with in that time is that is beginning to narrow, that more and more activists are actually being picked up, they're being beaten up, they're being given warnings. So, you know, you're beginning to have that kind of system, which people hoped had gone when the Syrians left, again, without getting too complicated. But the last big uprising, really, in Lebanon was after Rafik Hariri was killed. The Syrians, who had called the shots at that time, were forced out, a popular movement. They had controlled, through their Mukhabarat, through their secret police, everything that went on, and they were feared like anything. People breathed much easier after they left. They still do comparatively, but there is a concern that within Lebanon itself, it's breeding that sense that freedom is beginning to go. And all of these things, I mean, again, I don't want to go on and on, but all of these things, like the fact that the economy was still weirdly functioning, it was still a city where money came, it was still where people in the Gulf were buying, you know, mega apartments for huge amounts of money. It was still the place people wanted to come to, the diaspora all around Lebanon, all the people from Lebanon who represent obviously a much bigger number than actually there, would come every summer, would bring their money. All of those things kept it afloat. All of those things have now begun to fall apart one by one at the same time. That's the real, real problem that Lebanon is now facing. All those things that made it distinctive, all those things which made people still feel they had a stake, are going. And when, as I'm sure you know very well, your listeners know, when people lose a sense of the stake in their society for whatever reason, that's when there's real danger.
Is there any kind of obvious new prime minister, or does that very much depend on how these various power-sharing factions will land? How's that determined?
At the moment, that's how it will work out. It will probably be through the power sharing factions again. I mean, the Prime Minister Hassan Diab, who's just resigned, is still Prime Minister. He will carry on, could be for ages. It took a long time after Saad Hariri resigned in October for them to find another Prime Minister. There were several who were presented and then had to be withdrawn for one reason or another. It's never an easy process. And forget about Prime Minister. Lebanon was without a president for more than 2 years. So, you know, it's always a very difficult thing that happens. But in the end, in recent years, it's been Hezbollah, which has finally called the shots, which is the one which is necessary in order to get something through. And that, at the best of times, has tainted Hassan Diab, the Prime Minister now, although he was a virtual unknown, was tainted by that from the start, the fact that Hezbollah had engineered it. Saad Hariri, again, a flashback for people. Saad Hariri, who is the person who's back in the frame now, although the activists and the people on streets will not accept that at all. And so I don't think it's likely to happen. But that's the name that's there again. And he's been playing a game for that. If you go back 2 or 3 years, if you remember, Saudi Arabia suddenly essentially took him hostage and had him declare his resignation in Saudi Arabia on television. The Lebanese people came out on the streets then for him. You know, his sovereignty. Saad Hariri is our martyr. We have to bring him back. If he came back now as prime minister, it would be the total opposite. It would be he's now being imposed on us by outside forces, and he is a representative of all the things we said have to go. There are one or two other names that are around as well, ones which, again, like Hassan Diab, don't have that taint. But as long as the system stays the same, as long as the way it is engineered stays the same, it will be unacceptable on the street. And what people don't want and what they're saying is for Saad Hariri to be brought back by France, by the West, to say, you know, this is the man that we know, he's friendly towards us, we've dealt with him in the past. They're saying, but that is just another element of this system. That's the system that's brought us to where we are. That's the system that blew up in our faces last week, and we cannot accept it anymore.
Thank you. Sebastian Usher is the BBC's Middle East correspondent.